the year Tov Kuf Yud Tes, or 5519, the Baal Shem Tov sent one of his younger students, whose name was Rav Moshe Meshel, who came from the village of Bezekah. He sent him with a letter to his disciple, the Gaon Rav Chaim Rappaport, and in the letter it stated that at a certain day, Rav Chaim should travel to the forest, which was outside of the city, a distance of 8 parsongs on the eastern side of the city. There, he should learn with great diligence the first 4 chapters of the Laws of Brochus in the Rambam, and that the novella which he comes up with during his studies, he should right away write down briefly in order that he not forget it. That day, also, the Baal Shem Tov said, Rav Chaim should daven very early, eat breakfast, and go to fulfill the mission which was entrusted to him by the Baal Shem Tov. And there should be nothing that would keep him from fulfilling this mission. And when he comes to the forest and he sees the Baal Shem Tov standing there, he will know that this is the place where he is supposed to sit and learn the Shir, the lesson in the Rambam, the first 4 chapters. There as well he should daven mincha, and then he should return home. The Baal Shem Tov sent this letter, as mentioned, with Rav Moshe Meshel. Rav Moshe Meshel related that Thursday afternoon, I came to the city of Lvov, where the Gaon Rav Chaim Rappaport was the Rav of the city. And when I entered the room of the Besdin of the Gaon, I saw that he was very, very busy with many people. And when I asked if I could see him, I was told that I couldn't see him right now because there's a very, very important meeting taking place. And so I left. And later on, I came back to the Besdin Shtibel, the place where the Rav would take care of the questions and where there would be the meetings, and I found out that he already went home, and I went to his house, and I gave him over the letter. There's a whole separate part of the story which was already told in one of the earlier recordings, and so we won't repeat that now, just the second aspect of that story. And this itself will be divided into 2 sessions. The first telling about the trip of Rav Chaim and one of the reasons why the Baal Shem Tov sent him. The next recording will have the particular mission as well for which Rav Chaim was sent, which is a lengthy story in itself. The 2 days before Wednesday, that means Monday and Tuesday, Rav Chaim Rappaport, the rabbi of the city of Lvov, was busier than always, and he was terribly tired. And were it not for Rav Moshe Meshel standing on guard, as the Baal Shem Tov told him, then Rav Chaim would have missed Tikkun Chatzos, the midnight prayers. When it came the morning of Wednesday, the heavens clouded up, and rain started pelting down in a tremendous measure. And as soon as the Gaon put his foot onto the wagon in order to travel to the forest as the Baal Shem Tov had commanded him, all of a sudden the heavens began thundering and there was tremendous lightning, not only regular lightning bolts, but very frightening lightning bolts. The horses, seeing this display, stood in their places without even moving an inch. The driver, the wagon driver, hit them with his rod, but it didn't help. The Goan tells the wagon driver that you've got to go, but he can't go. The horses aren't moving. And so it took quite a while until the thunder and lightning quieted down, and then, and only then, was it possible to start on the journey. Although the forest where they were supposed to go was only like 8 miles from the city, nevertheless, the journey took many, many hours. For not only was the rain continuing unabated, albeit with a cessation of the terrible thunder and lightning, but also every step of the way there seemed to be something else that befell the travelers. The reins broke, the wagon wheels kept on falling off, the yoke broke, and all these things kept on happening one after the other, and understandably, until the wheels were fixed and the reins were fixed and the yoke was fixed, this took a long time. In fact, it took so long, and the driver was so upset that he wasn't able to lead his team of horses. He was too upset to do it. It was just too much. He had never seen such lightning and thunder and so many tragic events happening to his wagon in his lifetime. And he was terrified and upset. So Rav Moshe Meshel, this young disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, who the Baal Shem Tov had entrusted with this mission to give over the letter to Rav Chaim Rappaport, so he sat himself up on top where the wagon driver was, and they had not gone more than 20 steps when the wagon went off the road and it ended up in a ditch at the side of the road. That itself also took a very long time to upright the wagon, get it back on the road, and finally they did it, and it was only at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, although they left so early, that they reached that place where the Baal Shem Tov gave the sign to the Baal, to Rav Chaim, that there he should stop. And you'll recall the sign was that when Rav Chaim sees the Baal Shem Tov, this is the place where he should sit down. When they had just left the wagon, all of a sudden a tremendous clap of thunder came. And it was so strong that it was literally earth-shaking. A few minutes passed, and darkness covers that whole area. The sounds of thunder and the lightning flashes made them very, very frightened. The wagon driver began crying, and he said to Rav Chaim, Rebbe, I'm so frightened, I'm afraid, I never saw anything like this. And Rav Chaim said, Elikim osa shiyore mufonov. God made that he should be feared. Meaning, do not fear lightning and thunder. Fear the Almighty. That's all you have to fear. Rav Chaim went and sat under one of the trees and lost himself in his learning as he did the four first chapters of Hilchas Brochas of the Rambam. As soon as Rav Chaim lost himself in learning, the skies cleared and the sun came out again, and it was as if the thunder and lightning had never occurred. The place where Rav Chaim found himself was a large open plain, thousands of yards square, which was about 50 Amo, about 100 feet from the road. And this was among old trees, which was planted in equal rows, and very prettily done around this whole area. And here and there, one could see crumbling foundations and diggings that testified that some years ago there were many buildings over there. There were also signs of a well in the area. It was dug very deeply, with its walls by now totally broken down, and it was totally dried up without any water. One of the things that the Baal Shem Tov had told his disciple, Rav Moshe Meshel, was that the night before the journey, he should make sure to see that the goyim not daven too late, that he daven very early. And although the goyim gets up for Tikkun Chatzos, for the midnight prayers, however, because he is so tired, he may be so tired from his daytime work, maybe they'll fall asleep again. He also told Rav Moshe Meshel that he should see that Rav Chaim eats breakfast before he goes, and that he should take with him a goblet, maybe he will become thirsty. And Rav Moshe Meshel himself, at the time that the goyim will be studying, and the time that the goyim will be traveling, he should say by heart from Bereishis till the second parsha, also the Shira of Oz Yosher, the song of the Jewish people at the crossing of the sea, the song of Hazinu, and during the time while the goyim is in the place where he's going to be studying, he should say Tillim. And if he says Tillim once, he should do it again. And if he finishes twice, he should say three times. And he should not speak with anybody until that, from that morning of the day of his journey, he shouldn't talk to anybody from that morning of that day. The day that the Baal Shem Tov said that Rav Chaim should go to the forest was the next Wednesday, in one of the months, one of the weeks of the month of Tammuz. And indeed, as you will recall, Rav Chaim was very, very tired, and was necessary for Rav Moshe Meshel to stand on the watch, and he made sure that he got up on time, and he made sure that he ate breakfast, and he made sure to take along a cup for drinking water. And after, for 4 hours, Rav Moshe Meshel says, Rav Chaim sat engrossed in his learning. He became very thirsty, and I and the wagon driver went to seek out water among the trees in the forest, and there we found, not too far from this area, we found a well of water. After Mincha, we came back to the city. Rav Chaim had wanted that I stay by him as his guest till after Shabbos, because Rav Chaim was always very happy to receive a guest and a letter of the Baal Shem Tov, and as related the previous time, that when he would receive a letter from the Baal Shem Tov, he would make a suda, a special feast, sometimes telling what the Baal Shem Tov said, sometimes not relating, but in any event, whenever he would receive a letter, it was a great joy for him, and he wanted the shliach, the emissary of the Baal Shem Tov, that he too remain as his special guest till after Shabbos. But I kept my promise to that which the Baal Shem Tov had told me, that immediately after Myriv I should leave the city, and when I leave the city, there I will find a wagon, and I should sit down on that wagon without speaking to anybody, neither with the traveler on the wagon or with other people, and so I did. On the morning of Thursday, the wagon brought me to about 3 miles out of Mezhebish, and as soon as I came to the holy courtyard of the Baal Shem Tov, I saw the Baal Shem Tov in the window, looking out of the window, and he made a motion to me with his holy hand that I should draw close. I went close to the window, and the Baal Shem Tov told me that I should say the Tehillim three times completely, complete the Tehillim three times, once before davening, twice after the davening, and I should speak with no one, not even to reply to a Shalom Aleichem, to a greeting, until I conclude the Tehillim. And after that, I should say the Shiras Hayam, and what he was supposed to say on the wagon with Reb Chaim. I should say it once, Hazinu I should say twice, and also he said that I should not take snuff until after Ma'ariv. Alter Rebbe told his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, in the name of his master, the Rav HaMagid of Mizraich, who was there at the time when the Gaon Reb Chaim Rapoport came to the Baal Shem Tov, and he said to the Baal Shem that from the day that he had done his shlichus, his mission, to go to the forest to learn the four chapters and the laws of Brochus in the Rambam, and he had prayed over there mincha, so thank God his eyes were opened, as it were, in Torah, and his heart was opened in service of God, and he, Reb Chaim, gives praise to God that he merited him with such a deed that enabled him to have his eyes and his mind and his heart open in Torah and divine service. And he also thanked the Baal Shem Tov that he chose him to send him there, because surely he, Reb Chaim, merited to derive pleasure from the radiance of a holy soul. That Shabbos, the Suda Shabbos, the Baal Shem Tov related that aside from the first Shlichus, which we will soon tell about as we have some time now, and we'll start telling the story, there was fulfilled another important Shlichus. The Baal Shem Tov said to those assembled, the Zohar states that Mayim Tachtoinen Boichin Anan Beinan Lameve Kodem Malke Kandisha, that the lower waters cry and they lament and they state, we desire to be before the Holy King, before the Almighty. All the wells of water desire that something of holiness be done with them, like washing the hands before davening, immersing oneself in the mikveh, immersing oneself in order to prepare for davening and for Torah, the washing one's hand with a brocha, with mention of God's divine name, to the drink water which you make a brocha before or afterwards. And from the time that God created the water and separated the upper waters from the lower waters, so the lower waters are crying and saying, we desire to be before God by being used for a mitzvah, by being used for holiness and for purity. And their cries can go on for hundreds and thousands of years until a Jew goes by there, passes by, and washes his hands, and he makes the brocha on the Tilz Yadayim, or is thirsty, and he makes a brocha before and afterwards, and that is when the water stops crying. In the forest where you were, and the well that you found, there was that well was 5,519 years since its creation, that it's crying, why should its lot be worse than all the other wells in the world, that he was not blessed with anybody making a blessing over its his waters, and it wasn't used for any sanctity or holy purification. And that day, the well was saved through you, the Baal Shem Tov said to Rav Chaim, because you drank from its waters and you washed your hands before Mincha. And this is Hashgacha Pratis, the divine providence, that every created being has the time for its elevation, and who is supposed to elevate it, and each and every soul has a purpose, and that place where it is supposed to labor and rectify and purify and elevate. During that Shabbos meal, the Baal Shem Tov also related about the main reason why he had sent Rav Moshe Meshel with the shlichas to Rav Chaim, and what Rav Chaim was supposed to do over there. The Baal Shem Tov stated the following, and I'm telling it in a bit of an abbreviated version. It is found in the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe's writings in greater length. About 160 years ago, one of the Goinim of Prague, one of the Torah geniuses of the city of Prague, Rav Shmuel Tzadik, moved to the city of Lvov. He had two sons. The older son was Moshe, and the second son was Yehuda Aryeh. He had his sons learn by the best Malamdim, who were great in Torah themselves. And although Rav Shmuel Tzadik was a disciple of the Maral and a tremendous Goen, he was very opposed to the study of Musar and Kabbalah, and he wouldn't even read the writings of the Maral. The books of the Maral were yet to be printed, but they were found in Kuntresim and pamphlets, and handwritten pamphlets, and the disciples of the Maral would study it with tremendous desire. But he, Rav Shmuel Tzadik, rather desired to learn other things and worldly wisdoms rather than the wisdom of Maral, and surely not Musar and Kabbalah. And it came to a point that since he was a big makel, since he was very, very lax in questions that came to him, once the Maral said to him that he is one of those types of students that can purify the most impure thing, giving 150 reasons for this. And finally, Rav Shmuel Tzadik decided to leave Prague, and as mentioned, he came to Lvov. Rav Shmuel Tzadik was already quite old, and his son Rav Moshe was sitting and learning various wisdoms, and only Yehuda Aryeh was the one that did the various businesses. Rav Moshe, like his father, had a great desire to learn the worldly wisdoms, and he would occupy themselves with great interest in their study. But at the same time, he was a tremendous Torah scholar. He was known for his tremendous knowledge in the Babylonian Talmud, Jerusalem Talmud, Maimonides' code, the Arba Turim, and everything. He was always lenient, and especially when it came to matters of making blessings, he was very, very lenient. And his opposition to the study of Jewish mysticism and Jewish ethics was even greater, 10 times greater than his father. Some years after his father's passing, he went off the path totally. He bought himself a place, an estate about 4 miles from the city, built himself a house there, and he lived over there. Among those who came to his house were from the Gentile scholars, and he would give them wine and drink with them, and so he went down from level to level until he cut off his beard. God forbid, he began to profane the Shabbos and the holidays. His wife couldn't take it, because she remained frum, and from so much pain and anguish at his behavior, she became ill and died, and they had no children. After her death, he became even worse. He took a Gentile wife, but although he went that far, nevertheless, he did not stop learning. He kept on studying Torah with great diligence, and he would come up with novel thoughts and ideas and write it down, and he would write them down even Shabbos and holidays when you're not allowed to write, of course. 30 years Moshe lived in his estate, and he lived in a totally irreligious manner, never going to a shul, but would constantly learn. The Jews in Lviv and the neighborhood knew about all his misdeeds. Nobody would enter his house, but if a guest, a passerby would come, Rav Moshe would receive him with great love and affection. He would give him a good, nice gift as a donation, and he would also tell him not to take from the food, because everything is treifa by him, it's not kosher, he can't eat by me. And if he had a scholar who would come by, they would speak in learning, he loved to speak in learning. And so he lived his very, very strange life. Would eat nevelus a treifas, would drink Gentile wine, profane Shabbos and holidays, and nevertheless sit and learn. Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh, however, on the other hand, Rabbi Moshe's brother, or Moshe's brother, by now he stopped being Rabbi Moshe and became Moshe, although he was not as great in Torah as his father and his brother, but he was a God-fearing individual, and he would meet with those who were similarly God-fearing and studying and of Musar, and in the year Shinai in Zion, approximately, Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh left to the city of Prague, where he found childhood friends. He was received very nicely, and he was placed as one of the parnasim, one of the elders of the city, and he inquired when he came there about who could provide a good training, chinuch, education for his grandchildren, and he decided to give two of them, his grandchildren of Rav Moshe and Chaim Zelig, to the Tefes Yontev, Rabbi Yontev Litman Heller, who was a disciple of Rabbi Elio Baal Shem Tov, who he had learned by him for 3 years, and he learned Kabbalah by him, and when he came to Prague, he continued to study Kabbalah as according to the instructions of Rabbi Elio Baal Shem, and he conducted himself in the path of the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Elio Baal Shem, to draw close simple Jews, and this way he also trained his disciples, among them numbering of Rav Moshe and Chaim Zelig, the descendants of Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh. When Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh came to Prague, as mentioned that he had moved there, he also supported the yeshiva of Rabbi Elio Baal Shem, and when he heard in the year Shin Pei Dalet that Rabbi Elio Baal Shem is going to move one of the yeshivas to the city of Prague, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh, the parnas of the Kehillah, together with Rabbi Shmuel de Rosh HaKol, sent special delegations with money for the travels for Rabbi Elio and his disciples, and they also bought buildings and places for Rabbi Elio and the students, and they sought to all their needs. Among those that studied Kabbalah with, according to Rabbi Elio Baal Shem, was also Rabbi Rav Moshe, the Einikel, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh. Once happened that Rabbi Rav Moshe remembered his great uncle Moshe and all that had happened with him, how he had gone off the beaten path, and he once asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Elio Baal Shem Tov, what can he do to save his great uncle. And Rabbi Elio Baal Shem Tov said, I will tell you what to do in order that he come forth and become a Baal Teshuva. Rabbi Elio Baal Shem gave a detailed order of instructions, how Rabbi Avraham Moshe should conduct himself by his uncle Moshe in order to arouse him to Tshuva. He gave him over various mystical intentions and unifications that he should think there when he stayed in his house. He also told him that he should not eat nor drink from any food or drink which belongs to his great uncle and anything that come from the house, and even water he shouldn't drink that came from the house. He only permitted him to wash his hands and face from the water that was in the house, and other than that he should not use anything as a food and beverage from the house. Yoav Baal Shem also told Avraham Moshe that every night while he's staying at his uncle, he should do the midnight prayers, Tikkun Chatzos, during the entire week. And Mincha in Ma'ariv, he should see Daven during the weekdays in the house of his great uncle. Shabbos, he should daven in a nearby Jewish community, and he also gave him a mezuzah that he should place on the door on the second day that he is over there without a broch on the first door, and he should not tell his uncle that he is a nephew, and God will help him to arouse him to tshuva. We'll conclude the Mirza Hashem next time.